Shalom, brothers and sisters around the world. God bless you. As we look into the scriptures today, I'll read from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment on the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say peace be with thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. I'm sharing along the lines of what we did discuss yesterday. The love of God, or God's passion about us loving one another. Because that is who and what God is. God is love. And his draw card to us was on a platform of love. So God so loved the world that he gave. So God's draw attraction for us is love. Everything that he does comes from a position of love for us. And his heart is with anybody who has this attribute in him or her. Now, in this scripture, we're looking at Jerusalem, which represents the bride of Jesus Christ, or the church of God, which is not the physical building, but the people that make up the church. And the psalmist is saying here, he said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Looking at the house of the Lord as the people of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And he says, our feet shall stand within thy gates. So I will be identified with the people of God. I will not stand outside the gates of Jerusalem. I will not stand aloof from the people of God and point accusing fingers at them. I will go and stand within the gates of Jerusalem, whether Jerusalem be good or Jerusalem be bad, whether Jerusalem is under attack or it's in prosperity. Whatever is the lot of Jerusalem, I identify with it. I am part of Jerusalem. That's what he's telling us here. My feet, or our feet, shall stand within, not outside thy gates. And he said, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. So the togetherness of Jerusalem, brothers with brothers, sisters with sisters, all linked in one unit, inseparable. Say, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. So we can look at the tribes of the Lord. They're all different tribes from the same father, all of them from Jacob, but different, 12 different tribes. Also, we're different families, we're different nationalities on earth, but we're all tribes of the Lord, and we all go into Jerusalem. We all make up Jerusalem. Some are Americans, some are Brazilians, some are Norwegians, some are Africans, some are Moroccans, some are Australians. But if they are blood washed, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Ghost, they belong to that number of the bride. And it says, all these tribes that come into the city of Jerusalem. And then verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace between be within thy walls. Say, for my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say peace be within thee. So in other words, the psalmist, him and his companions, they desired the prosperity of Jerusalem. They desired the upliftment of the church. They desired the people of God to move forward, to be blessed in all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's why John could write the church and say, I wish that you will prosper even in thy body as thy soul prospereth. So God's apostle wanted the believers to prosper. So the Lord, or we as saints, when we look for the good of another believer. I wish this sister would prosper in her spirit. I desire this sister or this brother to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, to be used of God. I desire this suffering brother to overcome his challenges or his trials. We wish, we pray for the prosperity. When you do that, you're praying for the prosperity of Jerusalem. When a brother is downcast, has fallen down in temptation, you can reach out a hand and lift him up and say, I pray for the prosperity of Jerusalem, the upliftment of God's people. Praise the Lord. That's God's heart. That is how God is, because he said, a shepherd would leave 99 sheep and go after the one that is lost. And he says, in heaven there is more rejoicing over one sinner that repents than 99 others that did not need repentance. Why would heaven celebrate that more? 99 righteous people. Heaven is happy about them, but heaven will celebrate more one sinner that repents. So that is where God's heart is. One person that will look for his prosperity genuinely, not in a self-seeking way, not in a way to surreptitiously promote ourselves or our ambition, but genuinely for the welfare of that person, God is happy. Heaven celebrates. One good way to check out your motives and my motives is, what will I do about this situation if nobody in the world ever saw me or nobody in the world will ever know that I did it? Would I do this? Would I commit this sin if nobody would ever know? If I say yes, then that's the real me. Or would I help this person if nobody would ever know that I helped him or nobody will ever acknowledge it? If I say no, I won't help, that means I'm seeking glory of men. I'm seeking people's acknowledgement. But God's heart is doing it out of genuineness for the prosperity of Jerusalem. Not for my prosperity, but for the good of that person, for the welfare of God's people, that God's people may be lifted up. And he said, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say peace be with thee. For the sake of God's people, I will desire the good of Jerusalem. I will desire the good of God's people, the welfare of God's people in all ramifications of life, whether it within the sphere of my power and my influence. Where you can reach out and help, help. Where you can assist, assist. Where you can do no good physically, pray and let your goodwill go with such. Praise the Lord. And this brings us, as we close now, to the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 7, where the scripture says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. So it's impossible to love like God and not be born of God. You have to have God's nature to behave like God, to think. And the center of God's gravity is love. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. So you may be anointed, I may be anointed, I may be a good preacher, I may be a good singer, I may be a man of faith, a man of gifts. But if I don't love, then I have not experienced God. Because to experience God is to experience his love, his power. His love is power that comes out of his love to do many things in our life. He said, for God is love. Verse 11 or verse 10. He says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for us. So God loved us even while we're yet sinners. And that's the way he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, or they shall prosper that love thee. You're looking for the prosperity and the peace of Jerusalem, not your own. And he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So that means that as God loved us and gave, So also we love others, and the nature of God in us gives out something to them, gives out compassion, gives out prayer, gives out a helping hand, gives out concern, gives out correction, gives out anything that comes from God. And he says that how can you love God whom you don't see if you don't love your brother whom you see? That is the premium that God places on the way we interact with one another, the way I interact with Jerusalem, the church, is more important to God than the way I actually interact with God. Because if he can see, how can I love him if I don't love the brother whom I see? Praise the Lord. See, one thing about love, love keeps you humble, because loving others makes you vulnerable. If you reach out in love to somebody, you could be rejected. There is that risk. So that keeps you humble. But if you are coming from a position of power to that person, you're not vulnerable. But coming in a heart of love, trying to woo or to win or to reach across to something, you become vulnerable because you could be rejected. But that keeps you humble. Praise the Lord. And we need that as believers, because that will keep us humble no matter how God begins to use us. And we're still walking in love. That keeps us humble. Because you would never get to the point where you think, I don't need this brother, I don't need this sister, I don't need this church. I'm self-sufficient, I'm most anointed. Love will do the job for us. Praise the Lord. You know, one interesting thing he said about Brother Branham. He said that you never knew Brother Branham's enemies from his friends by the way he treated them. He treated all of them like they were his friends. Even those who really said nasty things about him. He said you could not tell those who were his enemies, because he treated all of them the same in the love of God. And if you remember that sometimes on the prayer line, the Holy Spirit will pick somebody's life in the congregation. When Brother Branham is on the prayer line, and he calls somebody in the congregation, and the person next to the person that is being spoken to then helps out the person. So, for example, he's speaking by the Holy Ghost to a woman who is probably blind or crippled, and the person sitting on the next to the woman on the pew helps this woman to stand. Many times we've heard where Brother Branham will say, oh, thank you for helping. The Holy Ghost loved that. God loved that. And then the Holy Ghost speaks to the person who was helping. Because the way we treat ourselves is the same way we treat God, whether we realize it or not. God is known in us by the way we love one another, by the way we treat our attitude towards the prosperity of New Jerusalem. That's why Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, not by your prayer or fasting or power gifts, but that you love one another. For love is the greatest force that's ever known. And that's why the Bible tells us of these three, faith, hope, and love, the greatest is love. That's not to say the others are unimportant, but we just want the bedrock, love, to be the fulcrum around which everything else revolves, and would be that child that is well-pleasing in God's sight. Would be that child, that son or daughter that God, that heaven trusts, that heaven can commit things into their hands, because it knows, heaven knows, that this child, this son, this daughter has the peace of Jerusalem in his mind, has the prosperity of Jerusalem in his mind. For the sake of my brothers or sisters there, I'm willing to lose things just so that Jerusalem may prosper, so that God's people may be advanced. That is a man or woman after God's heart. God bless you, saints, and have a wonderful day wherever you are. Amen.